Tonight we'll start there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12. So we're going through a study called What is Your Ministry? And just to begin, just the beginning of it is taking some time looking at the gifts of God. Five of them specifically we discovered in Scripture, and you can certainly add many, many more. It's unlimited. But the five that we wanted to focus on: the gift of God's written word, the gift of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life through Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then the gifts of the Spirit. That's kind of what we've been focusing on, the gifts of the Spirit, three groups of the gifts of the Spirit. Of course, this is for those that know Christ, who are taking steps of obedience to Him and surrendered to the Lord, surrendered. The Holy Spirit, there's a gift for every Christian, but submission is part of the requirement to see it through. We looked in Romans chapter 12 a few weeks ago under the group that we label the function gifts. The Bible talks about the office of. These are gifts for saved and baptized members in the church. Each function supplies a need in the church. That means it's something that is regular, something that's done on a regular basis, and God uses these gifts to help meet those needs. They are designed to serve and follow the Lord, those that are in being used of those gifts are to serve and follow the Lord with reliance on God's grace. And God gives a measure of it in as we put our faith and trust in Him through all things. Faith given to fulfill these functions. Let's look at that real quick. Romans chapter 12. Let's go ahead and go there. Just to remind us here. And we want to look at verses 3 through 8 here. I know y'all have a great memory. I do too. It's just very short, that's all. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. Here's what it says. Here's what it says. I'm going to read 3 to 8. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then he goes on and continues to talk about how all those are supposed to be, the attitude supposed to be done in those gifts as they are used for God. But these are functional. They help the church on a regular basis. And we discovered them. As we saw the list there, prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, showing mercy. Then we looked in 1 Corinthians 12, and that's where we're at here in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Let's take a look at verse number 8. Let's start there. Let's see. And let's read these verses. I'll read verse 8. If you'd read verse 9, we'll go back and forth. Verse number, verse 10. Verse 11. We'll stop there. Verse 11. So I'll read verse 8. If you would, again, responsive, let's do that. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit.
To another,
faith,
by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, by
the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Okay, thank you very much. So here we saw in this passage, the Bible talks about this is God's manifesting His power, His abilities to His church and through them, Most of these particular gifts we just read about, we don't see in the church today, such as someone with a gift of healing to go and by God's great power through the Holy Spirit. But can God still heal today?
Yes.
Yeah, he does still heal. And how does he do it according to the Bible? What's the way he encourages us to see healing? We got it right here. What is it? You pray. You pray. You ask God to help. You know, we were, as I was with these folks in the hospital and at the care centers and stuff like that, we don't pray because we don't think the doctors don't know what they're doing. We don't pray because the hospital, you know, we're afraid they're not going to pay their bills and the machines won't be on tomorrow. We pray because we trust in God and his healing hand. And though he uses all these things, we ask God for help. But prayer is partly the manifestation gifts. This is a way that God answers those prayers. He manifests his answer to the prayers of the body of Christ through many of these particular gifts. What was the purpose of them? Well, we saw in verses 1 through 3 to uphold doctrine, Bible doctrine in the church, which still is under attack today, as we heard about in the letter tonight. To be useful to the church, that God would have a place for us, which he does, and we would be working and willing to be a part of his plan, and to fulfill God's will, as we see in verse number 11 there, to every man severally as he will. And again, its presence and power in the spirit-filled believers for specific incidents. You didn't necessarily come to church at the Church of Corinth every Sunday, at least that's not the indication, that every Sunday you came and there was going to be speaking in tongues, or every Sunday that someone would say, I think God's going to heal at this hour. You know, it's going to be at 9:30 instead of 10 today. Our guy couldn't make it in time. Or whatever, it was for a specific purpose and reason, and God used it at the time. The manifestation gifts. Let's take a look at what they are. We read some of them. Let's go ahead and fill this in as we get started tonight. First of all, manifestation gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, that's where we're at. Verse number 8 talks about these, the word of wisdom, God's wisdom given to a spirit-filled believer at the time. Verse 8, again, word of knowledge. What does God want his church to know at that moment? And God would have his hand, the Holy Spirit would move on a person. Then verse number 9, take a look. Faith to another, faith by the same Spirit. Not just faith in salvation, not for that, but faith in something that God says, I can do. Will you help encourage the church to follow through and trust me? And that's the way I understand it in that regard. We're going to look at all these gifts later on, not all tonight, but just to get an introduction to them. Gifts of healing, verse number 9 talks about that as well. And what a blessing that would be to help here today. Amen. But even in the ancient world, during the time of the New Testament church, when these were given out, not everybody got healed. Who's the big one in the New Testament that you thought, boy, if anybody could be healed, it would be him, but he didn't. In fact, he asked God 3 times to heal, and God said no. Who was it? Apostle Paul. Yeah, this was a guy who God used to heal others, but himself he couldn't. Then working of miracles. That's in verse number 10. Things that can only be attributed to God. Prophecy, verse number 10. Again, prophecy. Then discerning, that's the blank, discerning of spirits. Verse number 10, it's in there as well. Kinds of tongues, verse number 10 talks about kinds of tongues. I believe these are tongues that were known, such as Spanish or Hungarian or French. Yeah, but at the time, those that would come to the meetings and they, you know, there were no translators for them. And the Holy Spirit would have someone filled with the Spirit who could share the message in their tongue with them. And then they'd have to have someone to interpret. You know, there was no, God did not want confusion in his church. God did not want confusion in his church. I have heard and seen some video of churches where they still believe that tongues are in a ministry today or so forth. And the one thing that comes out as you see those, I don't know if you've watched them or heard them, One word comes out, confusion, chaos. There's nobody leading. There's nobody seemingly to know what really is being said, because you can't hear anything specifically anyway. And that's part of the reason why I believe God gave us a completed word of God. So that's not a part of it. Part of the problem for Corinth was that was happening. There was confusion going on because those that would have the gift of that, the tongue at the time, there was no interpreter for that. And they were supposed to wait for an interpreter. We'll look at that later on. Look at verse number 27 with me, if you would. Verse number 27. So these aren't only manifestation gifts, but others are mentioned in this chapter. Take a look at verse 27 and 28. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And he goes on to say, and I'll read to the end here, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, having all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. All three groups, that's the blank of gifts of the Spirit, are mentioned. And if you look a little bit above there, as we mentioned last time when we were in the study, every believer can have an experience of a manifestation, but not every believer has the gift, every single gift that's mentioned on these lists. As he mentions here at the end of the chapter, not all have healing or tongues or whatever, not all are this or that. And it's not a matter of, you know, I'm not a mature Christian until I can do that, until I can do that, until I can do that. I'm not doing what's right. Well, God says, listen, some things are not for you. They're not for me. And we need to consider that as we go through and what the Holy Spirit would have us to do. Now we want to continue on. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're just going to touch this. Let me pray before we go any further, because we haven't prayed yet. So let's do that. Let's do that. Well, I guess Hudson prayed, so praise the Lord. It lasted a long time. Now we got to add some more prayer. So would you bow with me and we'll ask God's help before we go any further. Lord, thank you for your love and grace. Lord, sometimes this topic can be confusing. Other times we think we know, but we want to study what the Bible says. And so, Lord, I pray, help us to have a humble spirit before you tonight in every sense of the word, so that you get the glory. No one can get the glory except for you. We ask your blessing as we take a few moments here looking at this passage. Lord, help us to see what you want us to see and grow in Christ tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, take a look. Now we do have a pretty lengthy passage here. So let's look at it all. Let's look at it all. Again, if I could have your help reading this, I'll start with verse 4. If you would read verse 5, and we're going to read to verse number 16. Verse 16. I'll begin here. Verse number 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But seeking from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So here we're looking at, we saw the function gifts of the Spirit in Romans 12, manifestation gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. Now we're looking at the perfecting gifts of the Spirit, as it's mentioned here in Scripture, verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The gifts here that are mentioned, if you take a look at them in verse number, 11, it is certainly something from God, but it's not just a particular gift, it is people. It is people God gives to His church. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, etc. These are believers that God calls, enables, and gives to the church to perfect. And the Bible uses the word perfecting here, and another part it says to perfect. But the word perfecting here means to fit or to prepare for the work of the ministry. Again, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These are people God uses in the church to help us know what ministry God could use us in or we might fit in better, or even help train, etc. That's God's plan for people like this in the church. We don't have to go it alone, and God certainly wants to use all of us. But He says He's called some to help us with that. Would you look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12? 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 12. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to Pastor Timothy. It's a 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, part of the pastoral epistles. Tremendous instruction for serving the Lord in the ministry. But take a look at verse number 12. Here's what he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Interesting that he uses the word, he uses these words, who hath enabled me. He did not say, who used what I had. Remember, the Apostle Paul, he was no dummy. He was no guy that just came off the street and had no education. He had no training. He didn't know what to do with his life. He was homeless, etc. No, he was a very, very intelligent man. He was a very diligent man. That's why he was chosen to go seek out the Christians and persecute them and bring them back for trials and so forth. But God didn't use those particular things. He gave him something else. He gave him the gifts of the Spirit to help serve and reach people for Christ. And he says, I'm thankful that Christ enabled, that it's through Jesus that I can do what I do. And it's not because of anything I grew up with necessarily. Although learning things isn't a bad thing, right? I'm sure he had put some of his skills to use, but he gave all the credit to Jesus Christ, that they would help saints for the work of the ministry. What are some of the perfecting gifts? What are they supposed to do? Let's take a look at verse number 13 back in Ephesians here again. Ephesians 4. What is the purpose? And there's four of them that I see in this particular verse, chapter 4, Ephesians verse 13. And then we're going to be done for tonight. I do need one person to look up Galatians 2:20. Who would do that? Galatians 2:20, if they could help with that. Thank you. Thank you, Eric. All right, here's what it says. Verse number 13, let's take a look. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Perfecting gifts point the church to be unified in the faith, that's the blank, in the faith in God. To be unified in the faith in God. We're all believing the same thing and believing God for the same thing. And that is unity in the faith. Number two. Verse 13 again. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to know, that's the blank, know the Lord Jesus. to know the Lord Jesus. Got to think, here we are, book of Ephesus. Most of those people in Ephesus had no, they had never heard of Jesus. They did not know who he was. Anybody outside of Jerusalem or shortly beyond probably had no idea who Jesus was. And so part of the plan, part of the purpose of those sharing Christ's word is that they get to know who he is. I'm thankful we have the Bible, amen?
Yes.
We've got the completed word. Remember, they didn't have it that time.
That's right.
But it's still the purpose is still in effect even today, to know the Lord Jesus. Number three, he says here, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The word perfect here, mature or complete. Perfecting means we're preparing or fitting, and perfect meaning complete, that fit has been done, perfecting. The Bible says he wants us to grow into mature Christians, so that we're not blown, as he says, blown away with any particular latest and greatest doctrine out there or things that would draw us away from Christ that seem more enticing or whatever, but God says that they would stay faithful and true. And then number four, he goes on to finish with this verse, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's hear from Galatians 2, verse 20.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Okay, thank you. That's, if you don't have that verse memorized, put it down on your phone so you can, or whatever, have it in your heart. But here's what part of the perfecting gifts are to point the church to. Number four, be not I, but what? Christ. Not I, but Christ. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about what Jesus would do and that he could live through us. That's part of that particular gift, the responsibility. All right. Let's put that aside. Let's go pray. Let's pray for all these folks that we talked about.